McKenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place. And good morning, everyone, and welcome to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I'm Frankenberry, and we are back with yet another Fantastico show.
Fantastico show.
That's right.
That's a great hello, Frankenberry.
Hey, thanks.
Just see, how many words we can end with throughout the show.
I don't know.
That wouldn't get at all annoying.
Right? Only in about 20 seconds.
So Jonna, when I first said hi to you before we started recording, you said that things are looking up for you this week. Now, Carol, she hadn't mentioned that to you, and I know that probably floors you that Jonna would say things are looking
some
up.
Some good news.
But Jonna, please tell us.
Well, I can say this. I have emerged from what I can only describe as a bizarro world over the last week. I mean, seriously, and I think I jinxed myself because if you guys remember, last week we talked about some weird things like that ghost app and, you know, how I had to bug Deb Hanlon for some quick advice. And I think the ghosts got ticked off that I was less than flattering, I suppose, about them. And
you can't leave it at the taxi drivers, Kenya. You gotta piss off the ghosts too.
Right? Okay. You know, because way worse than pissing off a taxi driver. But like for instance, so between today and last week, what had happened was I just had this series of really annoying sort of mechanical and weird difficulties. Like number one, my ice maker in my Samsung refrigerator went on the blink again. And, you know, listen, you're like, oh, okay, big deal. Your ice maker wasn't working, you know, grow up. But here's the thing. It's not everybody else on the planet who has a problem with this particular brand of ice maker can go on YouTube. They can easily show you how to take the ice maker out, how to fix the problem yourself, put it back. Yes, it's annoying.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, it's annoying, but it's
not. Did I just laugh out loud? I'm sorry.
You did.
Yeah, you did.
That was outside laugh.
Yes. And we heard it. And so anyway, everybody else on the planet can go on YouTube and do that. But when yours truly wants to self-fix her ice maker, she can't get the darn box out of the refrigerator. Come love or money. I pried it. I hammered it. I pulled it. I pushed. I put curses on it. I blew dry it. Guys, I did this for days. I did it for days. Could not get the darn thing out. I was really just tempted to throw out this very expensive refrigerator and start over. It culminated in a profanity-laced video that I posted that I'm now going to have to take down. Long story short, a friend of mine said, unplug your refrigerator overnight. Then in the morning, try to pull that little ice maker box out again. And wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know? I have tendonitis in 9 fingers from pulling and pushing.
Oh, come on. Go for 10. You know you want to.
I don't want to exaggerate.
Never.
But then, okay, so that was bizarro number one.
Before you move on.
Okay.
And Frankenberry can appreciate the fact that you're probably the only person in earshot who can get away with unplugging their refrigerator overnight and not be at risk of having any food spoil, because we know that what is most likely inside is wine, beer, and maybe mustard.
Exactly. I was just going to say the condiments are pretty good overnight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. I had nothing to worry about in that regard, which made my life a little simpler.
Okay.
Although, you know, there was some beer in there that might have gotten a little warm, but anywho. Okay. So bizarro, that was bizarro thing number one. While that was going on, second bizarro thing, my perfectly normal functioning coffee pot ceases to work. I put a pod in there.
Not the coffee.
Yep. I click the button. It doesn't even make a noise. It doesn't even hiss. It doesn't sputter. It doesn't spit. It doesn't tell me to go myself. It just doesn't do a darn thing. But all the lights are on and it says it's ready to go. And I'm banging and banging and banging the button. Not working. I finally resorted to, now, I don't know, Frankenberry, you won't be able to appreciate this because you probably don't have a wine aerator with a very small little screen compartment to get any sort of settlement or residue in an old bottle.
I wish I could see his face right now.
Yeah, you lost me when you said wine.
You know what Frankenberry's doing right now? He's like slathering peanut butter on some sort of toast with a plastic knife and rolling his eyes. But anyway, so I had to resort to taking a wine aerator with a very small screen thing and little by little trying to pour boiling hot water over coffee grounds that I poured out of a coffee pod to get it into a cup on a Sunday morning. You know why? Because I'm not leaving the house at that hour to go get coffee. My hair is all messed up. My mascara is all over my face. I'm not doing it. Okay. So I do that a couple of times, like acting like a desperate crackhead, only it's coffee grounds. You're not going to believe this though. So I do this all morning. Okay. It just so happens that my much younger paramour happened to be at my house same day. He walks into the kitchen. He puts a cup under the coffee pot. I tell him, don't bother. It doesn't work. He presses the button. And what do you think happened, you guys? What do you think happened?
It brewed a perfect hot cup of coffee.
Probably the best cup of coffee I ever smelled in my entire life. Now, I ask you, if that's not proof that the ghosts were ticked off at me for last week's show, how does that happen?
Oh, I actually support you on this one.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with Carol there. I'm with you there, Spielberg.
Yeah,
you pissed maybe off it's the same one that see what happens.
Maybe it's the same one that picked you up and dropped you out of bed that time.
Oh, remember that?
Yeah,
thanks for the reminder. You know what? It could have been in that one, but I got one more thing. I got one more incident from Bizarro Week.
Okay,
I go online. I need to shop for a very small, like 4-inch. Sort of like a decorative container that you would put a plant in. Like, you know, you have a plant, but say it's in an ugly little plain pot and you want to stick that ugly plain pot in a little decorative pot, right? So like a little 4-inch by 4-inch decorative pot. Okay.
Yeah.
I go online. I find one. I buy it. It arrives. It's not a 4-inch little decorative pot. It is about 4 feet freaking wide and about 2 feet high. I could have crawled in it. I could have crawled in it. It's like a tub. And I'm like, how did this happen? I am an experienced online shopper. I can shop while I sleep. I can shop while I'm drunk. I can shop with one eye closed and the other one only partially open. How did I make such a mistake? Bizarro week.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, Jonna, the one, a single apostrophe means feet. two is inches. Write that down.
You know what this makes me think of? You guys remember the movie Spinal Tap?
No.
Oh, yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Well, and there was the whole thing. They were going to do a whole show based around Stonehenge. And they wrote out on a napkin in a restaurant or a diner the dimensions of the Stonehenge that was going to be lowered down onto the stage. The only problem is, like Carol said there, they made the mistake of the little line apostrophe type thing for feet versus inches. So when that was rolled down on the stage, they had, you know, small people dancing around it because it was only about a foot tall. So yeah, that's what I'm thinking of right now. Yeah.
Well,
so what are you going to do with your tub?
All right. So here's the thing. This is why I started the show by saying things are looking up, because Because after suffering through a week of bizarro world, number one, I got the ice maker working again. Number two, the coffee maker just started working on its own. And it just so happened that this big planter, oversized planter, is going to come in handy for something that I need at my office solely by accident. So now I've got a use for that. And then one more thing. Do you remember, I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Did I mention to you that all my birds disappeared? Was I asking you about that? I was complaining to anybody who would listen that for all summer, I had different varieties of birds and birds and birds in my bird feeders. And one day they just disappeared like a few weeks ago. Did I tell you that?
I don't think we talked about it on the show because we took a few weeks off, but I think right. I saw that you posted something on Facebook.
I don't recall you asking us or telling us that.
All right. Well, they mysteriously disappeared after enjoying a multi variety of birds feeding on my feeders all summer. And guess what happened today?
The birds are back.
The birds are back. So whatever I did, I must have appeased whoever I ticked off. Thank the Lord. But things are looking back up. Wouldn't you know it?
Though the thing is, the problem here, Jonna, is that you have no idea what it is that you may have done to appease said angry ghost.
That is true.
Unless they were like, we just need to mess with her a little bit and then leave her alone. We're not that mad.
I think it's just a ghost that misses drinking and misses their coffee. And that's why they took away Jonna's, you know, ice cubes and coffee maker for just a moment. Because she's still in the land of the living and they're pissed off.
That's plausible.
You know, but I have to say that, you know, my reaction to their messing with me probably sent a message to them that said, you know what, this isn't going to end well for us. We made our point. Let's back up. Right.
Let's give her back the birds.
You cannot out. What's the word for tenacity? You can't out tenace me or whatever the present participle would be. OK, you cannot do that. I am untenacibatable. So therefore, ghosts. Yeah, you hear me.
There it goes again. That 1940s gangster's voice. There it goes. Ghosts. Yeah, you got me. I got you back. Yeah. Hey, Muggsy, let's get those ghosts.
So you never did tell us, is it associated with the message that was coming from the shaking mirror?
Oh, no, that is totally separate. But I'm so glad you brought that up because now I have somebody coming to my house to fix the problem that the mirror was messaging me about.
Oh.
Ah.
And you never told us what that was, or can you share?
Yeah, is it going to be an exorcism?
Well, funny you should say that. It's not going to be an exorcism in the true sense of the word, but it is kind of going to be an exorcism because I am going to crawl up the butt of the person responsible for causing this problem. And so in a sense, yeah, I'm going to exorcise that person right out of my life when I put my hand out for a refund for all the money I paid him to do a crappy job on my HVAC system. So yeah, sort of, I like that analogy.
Okay.
The exercise contract.
Just be careful though, Jonna, because you've already pissed off some ghosts. Don't go pissing off the devil now.
Well, now you're not going to sleep tonight, Frankenberry. You just too much.
You always got to step over the line, don't you? You bastard.
But you made it fun to weird. Okay, Frankenberry.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm glad things are looking up and you're getting back to life again.
I know.
Glad you got a cup of coffee.
We're coffee and wine.
I think everybody in our office is glad her coffee's working again.
That is true. And can you believe that August is behind us? August is behind us. I'm a little sad about that.
Well, you know what? It's kind of like over the weekend, we had a little birthday party for my sister, and it was her 50th. And my Aunt Lib was there. And Aunt Lib at one point said, You know what, Stephen? Since my 80th birthday, and I'm 83 now, I think the years no longer have 365 days. Oh. I think they now only have like 330.
Oh, that's funny.
And I'm like, you know what, Aunt Lib? I kind of feel the same way. I'm with you.
Yeah, they're getting shorter. Time's going faster. All right. So I dropped a half of a Sagu before, but I can get why you didn't really pick it up. But
we didn't get it.
It's okay. No. All right. So we have a returning guest coming up, Diana Perkovic. She is the founder of Good Girl Mafia, absolutely in love with her brand. And she is going to be talking to us. She does a lot of empowerment coaching with women, and she's going to be talking about the behind the scenes discussion she's been having with women about getting back to life as we're opening back up after COVID. And it's amazing when I was reading through her, I think there was top five ways she listed on one of her blog posts. I'm like, oh my gosh, I relate to that. Yeah, I get that. Like the social anxieties of getting back out there. So anyway, she's awesome. She's got great energy, great insight. We're going to talk to her when we come back about life opening back up again and her advice for us on that.
No, we have been doing this show far too long to let Curly get off the hook from not having one of her famous, ridiculously bad Sagus.
You missed it.
Well, then you know what? Then repeat. Frankenberry, rewind the rewind.
So now, Jonna, as things are looking back up for you after having a weird week, I'm really glad that you're getting back to life again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Top five behind the scenes discussions I'm having with women about getting back to life. I know. You know, I'm going to even tell you it was weak. All right. Anybody want to try better? Because I'm gonna own that really was not my best work.
Wait, come on. Just give us 1 minute to think of something. That was not your best work. It was definitely not your best work.
All right. So we were talking about the ghost.
I got nothing.
I got one. So after a week of bizarro week, I'm finally feeling alive again.
That's it.
Cricket.
I was just going to say, you beat me to the crickets, girlfriend.
Oh my God, I wish I could have brought up a cricket sound. Okay. All right. When we come back, empowerment coach, founder of Good Girl Mafia, Diana Perkovic.
All right. That is what's on the way. This is Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci, and we will be right back. So stick with us.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back again to Happy Hour here on this Sunday morning with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci and myself. And it is segment two time, which of course means it's time to get to one of our wonderful guests. And Diana Perkovic is no exception.
Not at all. She's joined us before. We invited her to come back. And you guys know that I love and appreciate really good branding. And this girl has nailed it. She is the founder of Good Girl Mafia. It's a female empowerment company. She's also the creator of the Good Girl Mafia 6-week empowerment bootcamp, designed specifically for women to define, grow, and live authentic empowerment. We're going to learn more about that before we let her go. She, as an empowerment coach, she is a certified neuro-linguistic programming master practitioner. She's going to explain that. Certified social and emotional intelligence coach, certified motivational coach, and twice over certified life coach. I guess she knows her stuff. She brings her decade plus as a national TV host to Good Girl Mafia's YouTube channel, the Empowerment Formula podcast, and on stage as a speaker. Diana Perkovic, welcome back to Happy Hour.
Hello, everybody. It is so great to be back. Thank you for having me.
We love your energy. We love your authentic style, and your insight is always so helpful. So before we get into, and we want to talk, we promoted that we wanted to talk about, you did a recent blog post I thought was really, really helpful on specifically for women, the dark side of coming back to life again after COVID and the kinds of conversations that you're having with women. So I do want to get into that. But before we do, please educate us on what is a certified neuro-linguistic programming master practitioner?
Well, it is a mouthful indeed, but I know.
How ironic, right?
I know. And it is. It's a mouthful indeed, but when it relates to women and men and their healing journey and dealing with things, I have personally found that NLP is one of the most effective tools that we have. So neuro-linguistic programming is a behavioral social science. It's a social science, and it is really the study of, it started off as the study of the thoughts, behaviors, and attitudes of highly successful individuals, people who are above the median line. And from that came this, it's really sort of neuroscience-based as well. It is all of our behavior and all of our communication, this is across the board for everyone, is subject to patterns. And these patterns are determined by how your brain codes all of these patterns, all of our learning, all of our experiences. And that is really, I think, the basis of what we believe turns into what we think, that turns into our decisions, that turns into the circumstances of our lives, whether we are happy in those circumstances or not. And so with NLP, it is really a series of tools and techniques to get to the root of all of these patterns and all of the ways in which our brain codes information to once and for all step off of the hamster wheel. Like, how do I always end up in the same relationship? How do I always end up in the same job, even though I change jobs? That's where NLP comes in, because we look at those patterns and figure it out once and for all. It's been a powerful tool for myself in my life. Like, I am the guinea pig for all of my clients. And so for me, NLP has been unbelievably life-changing. And so that's why I went further than just being an NLP practitioner. I went all the way and got the master practitioner certification, because it's game-changing.
Go ahead, John.
So is when people, like, I know a little bit about NLP, I'm sure Carol does too. But for people out there who are listening who maybe want to change, they feel stuck. I personally know a lot of people who kind of like went into this sort of little bit of minor depressive funk really coming out of the last year. When you hear the acronym NLP, you might go, oh, that's above my pay grade. I'll never be able to figure that out. Is there an easy way for people to learn about it and employ it and benefit from it?
Well, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, I put everything through the empowerment filter, guys. At the end of the day, if we're not personally empowered, if we're not bringing an awareness to the things that are going on, it's really hard to make changes. So I'll give you just an easy way to sort of start to bring awareness to some of these patterns that you have. So the first thing I would say to everybody is, what do you truly value? And I'm not talking about vacations, this, that. I mean, what do you truly value? Like, for myself, one of the things I value is a sense of freedom. Not feeling like I'm tethered to a camera in a studio and this live television crazy schedule. Like, I really like to have my freedom. And so then you start to look at your relationships, your job, where you live, how you are, and you put it against those things that you really value. And you start to ask yourself, do they line up? And if they don't, there's a pattern in there. Now you've brought awareness to it, and you can really start to dig and start to see, like, what is amiss, what is not lining up. I think truly to sit down and figure out, what do I truly value? What do I want my life to look like? Where is it right now? It's the space in between that we have to start to navigate.
You know what, Diana, it's like you have a program that runs on your computer, right? But you have a program that's running your life, but we're not always conscious of it. And maybe there was a time when that program, maybe we even learned that program as children as a survival mechanism, but that no longer serves us. And I think so often when we're frustrated or unhappy or the circumstances around us are not aligned with what we want, I think the go-to is to just look, you know, feel helpless and like a victim and look around you and, you know, it just sucks and it just is. And maybe it does, not saying it doesn't, but you're coming at it to saying, hey, look inside. And it's not about fault. It's not about blame or shame. You know, nobody likes any of that. That's not helpful anywhere, but what's the program you got running? And you have the power to rewire that
Yes. And that's what you've done in your own life, right?
Yes, yes. And you just, you nailed it right there, because the this is the patterns and the coding with your brain that I was talking about. I've coined this phrase, the tape recorder. My sister and I used to talk about the tape recorder and laugh, right? Because we used to laugh about what our parents would say and how it comes out in us. So to your point, and really you nailed it, our subconscious mind makes up 90 to 95% of all of the decisions and thoughts and feelings that we have, right? That's your tape recorder. Those are your patterns. You may or may not know that that subconscious mind was created and formed from the ages of 0 to 7. So in my life, I had to look at myself and say, wait a minute, are you trying to tell me that potentially a 3-year-old is making my decision? And I'm not even aware of it. Like,
it's funny and it's not funny.
Right. Exactly. And so those are the patterns and those are the codes that are happening, that tape recorder beneath the surface. And it sometimes runs so soft, like a whisper. We don't even know it's there. But boy, oh boy, when that volume goes up, right? And just what you were saying, a lot of people are feeling this kind of low grade depression. Things don't feel right. What do? Oftentimes we anesthetize until we feel like the way we did before. But that's really kicking the can down the road, because you're going to end up not feeling great again. And then we have a decision. That's a choice point. Do I go back to normalizing? But then I'm going to end up in the same position again. And then when that comes up, do I go back to normalizing? Because here's the other thing, right? Let's stick with the NLP in our programming. Is your idea of normal healthy? Does it line up with how you see yourself, how you want to live your life? That normal that I had for myself, that was no bueno. I had to change my idea of normal. My idea of normal today is totally different than it was 5 years ago.
Wow. And it all starts with the awareness and then the recognizing you can rewire what your program that's running in the background. You touched on, or Jonna brought it up, like a funk, a depression. I want to know if we can take a few minutes to kind of touch on one of your recent blog posts that you entitled "The Top 5 Behind the Scenes Discussions I'm Having with Women About Getting Back to Life." And can you speak to those for a few minutes, Diana?
Absolutely. You know, as an empowerment coach, you can only imagine that once people discover that that's what I do for a living, the conversations are really different, right? People are women are open and they're honest. And what I found, whether it's the woman next to me on the Pilates reformer, girlfriends, clients, everybody's experiencing these things. And this is across the board. So if you're listening and you're experiencing this, just understand, if you need to hear that this is normal, I'm telling you this is normal. So number one, social anxieties. Number two, all-time high, raging female insecurities. Like, you know, maybe I didn't feel great about my butt before. Suddenly, it's like at all-time high, I don't like my butt. Single ladies haven't dated. The anxiety and how do I go out there and start dating again? Complete lack of energy and stress. Everybody's talking about that. And boredom is the new norm. And I don't know if you all saw this survey, but there was a survey of 2005 Americans who discovered that nearly a third, 32%, say that the simple chore of doing laundry had become the highlight of their entire week. And now I'm supposed to go out and look cute, feel cute, go on a date, be social, be normal. It's a lot to ask of women.
That is you lost Jonna on the laundry there. Laundry, grocery store. Can't,
you didn't lose me, Diana. Believe me, I like doing laundry.
I do too. Oh God, Frankenberry, we're so cliche.
I love it. I love it.
You might have lost me on the laundry, but I totally perked up when you said people are complaining that they are bored. And I'm going to say almost for the first time in my entire life, I'd say in 2021, I have said the words out loud to myself when I'm alone, God, I'm bored, more than I have said it collectively in the all 39 years, put a little asterisk there, that I've been on this planet.
Right. I just like my asterisk of 32 years that I've been on this planet. But no, I mean, listen, 2020 was completely unprecedented. And what it did was it forced so many people to utterly change and lean in and do things that they normally wouldn't do. We had far more time on our hands than ever before. And what did that do? It brought up a lot of things that normally we wouldn't have time to think about. So I think so many people have emerged from this lockdown hangover, right? We come out the other end and there's just, you're different, I'm different, the collective is different. And now I don't feel cute. I feel like I have social anxieties. Like for myself, I moved from lockdown LA to totally open Miami. And as you can imagine, I was bursting at the seams, like, I'm going to go out, I'm going back to Pilates, I'm going to go for dinner just because I can. When I got here, the reality was so different. I got so used to being at home. It felt safer at home. I felt safer at home. The act of going to the supermarket, I got anxiety.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Like just going anywhere, right? The Pilates studio, anything. It was like, I had to self-talk my way through it. Like, Diana, this is temporary. Nobody knows how we're supposed to behave after being locked down for, 10 months or however long it was for me in LA. Like, you've never been through this before. Give yourself a minute. But it's just been the conversations I have with women, everybody is saying the same thing. So it's not just me or you. Like if you're listening and you're feeling some sort of way, understand it's normal.
And so that's the first thing. These are these five things that you just mentioned, and I can relate to all of them to varying degrees. Mm-hmm. And so the first thing is to don't beat yourself up. Don't feel like there's something wrong with you. You're normal. You're not alone here. Okay. So, and then what's next? What other advice? So it's not just bringing light to the troubles we're having. Right. What advice do you have for people as they navigate the world of coming back to life after lockdown?
I truly think that to keep it simple is the most effective, because think about how overloaded our brains are right now, right? We're all navigating something new. So insofar as what can you actually do when you are out and about, it sounds very simple, but I think simple is best. Breathe. That's what I did. I literally focused on my breath and would self-talk my way through it. And self-talk, the idea of I am, I have, I can. Those are the three most powerful things you can say to yourself. I am whatever, insert calm. I can do this, even though it doesn't feel good. I can still do this, right? I am, I can, I have. I have the power to actually go out and about and still do it, even though I feel, I don't know, afraid of the Delta environment. I'm afraid because it seems like people are angrier than they used to be. And mm-hmm. It seems, again, so simple. But if you can just focus on I am, I can, I have, and breathe your way through it. You know, I will tell you guys, the one thing I did not put in that blog post, and probably I should have, is, to be perfectly honest, I literally had a hard time looking people in the eye. Is
oh,
that
wow.
not the weirdest Ow. Thing? Is yeah. that not weird? And I'm bubbly. I'm outgoing. I've lived in Miami a few months. I already have a group of, a tribe of women. Like, I'm not a shy person. I had a hard time looking people in the eye.
And these are great setups to be very aware, and you have the power to choose of what comes after I am, I can, I have. Mm-hmm. You choose those words. And isn't that also tie right into the neuro-linguistic programming, that the words that we choose to use and how that adjusts and updates our program?
Nailed it. You just nailed it.
That's exactly. Don't tell me that again. John's going to be mad.
Okay. That's exactly. No, seriously, that is exactly. That's that's exactly it, though, because when you think about it, again, when we get to those choice points, those moments where the discomfort is so high that you're to the point now where you actually feel anxious. You may not be having anxiety, quote unquote, but you're feeling unbelievably anxious. It's being able to, if you think of it as taking a walk, it's like being able to walk through it, even though you're feeling that anxiety. So I normally am a very bubbly, outgoing person. This is temporary. I can be completely out of my skin, because me not being able to look people in the eye made me feel like I was coming out of my skin. It's like, how abnormal am I? Like, what happened to me? Is this permanent? Have I completely changed my personality? Like, I really like that about myself. People always say to me, oh, you're always in such a good mood and bubbly. I love being around you. Is that gone? Like, how is this happening? So I can feel this way and still look someone in the eye. If it's not today, it's tomorrow. I have the capability to be bubbly. I'm just not that girl today. I can't look at someone in the eye today. So again, it seems really, really simple. But if you can, I'll use your word, Carol, bring awareness and just acknowledge what you're going through. Don't get mad at it. Don't be mad at yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Just acknowledge it and give yourself an I am, I can, I have. And I promise you, it's going to get, every time it will get easier.
And you know, there's nothing worse, and Jonna and I, Frankie Berry, have talked about this multiple times on the show, that when you have a negative, normal human emotion to begin with, fear, stress, sadness, whatever it is, and then you compound it by judging it, yeah, you only amplify it. So to give yourself a moment of pause to do what you just suggested, you're going to let those moments of when you're feeling in a way you don't want to feel, they will dissipate much more quickly by acknowledging them, by choosing the powerful language patterns that you suggest.
Absolutely. And that brings us right back to, you know, NLP and your subconscious mind. Like, if you're beating yourself up, I want you to stop for a minute and just ask yourself, when did I feel beat up? Like, when was I like, did I hear no all the time as a child? Was I not seen? Was I not heard? Were my emotions not valid? Was it, just go clean your room? Like, look at some of these patterns that happen below the surface, because they are there. We all have them. And as women, I mean, if we don't beat ourselves up, nobody does. Like, we are the queen of being mean to ourselves. You want to talk about mean girl? If we want to eradicate the idea of mean girls, let's start with ourselves. Don't be so mean to yourself. It's okay to feel weird and off.
Can I tell you something? Oh, sorry, guys. Can I tell you something that I do that I think is, and I only recently started doing this, like very recently. When I'm feeling that kind of way, like you know, when I'm feeling things are off and, oh, am I ever going to feel normal again? And, you know, bored, whatever the feeling is, mm-hmm, I finally have learned how to actually take a break from that. And what I mean is, like, example, at the end of the day, if I want to sit and watch the sunset and drink a glass of wine, before I would sit, watch the sunset, drink a glass of wine and ruminate over and over all the crap that's wrong in my life and how am I going to fix it? Now I go and I specifically say, I'm here to enjoy the sunset and this glass of wine. And I clear my mind of it all. And I start, wow, thinking about it after I'm done enjoying 15 minutes of nothing. And it's been almost life changing.
See, good for you.
And there you go. Nailed it. That's it right there. That's the power.
Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Did you say that I, Jonna, the one who is speaking at the moment, nailed it.
I'm
almost sure that's what I heard, Jonna.
when we do the promo for this show, please isolate that little exchange.
I love it.
If you missed the show, make sure you go back and listen again to catch Jonna's newfound brilliance.
I love it. God. I mean, how beautiful is that, really? I mean, what a pity to be able to have the ability to go out with a glass of wine, sit there, look at a beautiful sunset, and what a shame it would be to sit and just think about all of the stuff that didn't go right and the things that didn't go right and the things that I don't like and all of the stuff that's no bueno. Like, what a shame that is. How beautiful that you can sit there and say, I'm just going to appreciate this moment with this sunset. I think that's a beautiful thing. I really do.
It's been tremendously helpful.
And that's a choice that we all have the power to make, is to raise the awareness to the thought patterns, the conversations we're having in our head, and say, okay, is there another choice here? Is there something I can choose differently that's going to allow me to enjoy my life right now more? Diana, before, I love talking with you. I love your insight. I love your energy. But we're wrapping up here on time. I want to make sure we mention you have a Good Girl Mafia 6-week empowerment boot camp. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking. I mean, it has been everywhere. It's been in the news, it's been in magazines, and there's a reason why, because I truly believe that authentic personal empowerment is the roadmap for us ladies. Let's wake up and let's take control of our lives. You know, when you consider 6 weeks and you feel like that's such a quick turnaround, it's 6 weeks of defining what personal empowerment looks like to you, what that life looks like, what it feels like, where you are right now, the space in between. We start off with deleting. One of the things that I really struggle with respect to the idea of just change your mindset, do affirmations, blah, blah, blah. Well, you can't put lipstick on a pig. You can't put whipped cream on poop. And I think it's just, it's another loop that we get women on to start beating themselves up, because you sit there and you're like, I'm going to do affirmations for 50 days and it's all going to change. Well, if and until you excavate what's underneath the programming, the thought patterns, the traumas, all of those things, and if and until we clear that out, all of those affirmations are just going to be really, really difficult for us. So in these 6 weeks, I have a 100% success rate. I've worked with women in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, every race, every religion, every creed, because empowerment is universal. It is like taking the biggest industrial size fishing net, throwing it out into the ocean and pulling it back in, and all of the garbage, the gunk, all of the stuff at the bottom of the ocean, we pull that up and boy, oh boy, do we clean it out. So we excavate all of this to create a slate. That's getting rid of the tape recorder, to create a clean tape so we can re-record the tape recorder. It is a powerful 6-week program that every single woman has a moment where she just goes, oh my God. Oh my God. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
I'm enough. I am enough. I see it now. And so it's just personal empowerment changes everything. Once you get your personal empowerment in check, all of these problems, all of these rabbit holes we go down, all of the patterns, all of it comes to light and we can change it. And again, I'm not just trained in doing this, but I went through my own, you know, traumas and changes and really low points in life. So I bring not just my education to the table, but also my personal experience, which was, you know, really hard as well. And you can, I know we're out of time, but it's all on the website. So you can read about that there. Because trust me, it was not easy for me.
Oh, I just love you, Diana. And you know what? What I'm hearing from you, at the core of everything that you're doing, we say we want a self-improvement, right? We want to improve on ourselves. And I think that is really more of a journey. And this is what you're doing, of healing. It's not trying to make yourself better. It's really being a little kinder and healing some wounds that you might not even know are there.
That's the thing. You need to give yourself some grace. You need to be kind to yourself. You know, if you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, this is like, call me, we'll talk. Like, if you're tired of the same nonsense playing out in your life all the time, you hate your job, you're not where you want to be, whatever it is, it boils down to your personal empowerment. It boils down to, let's get the tape recorder fixed first, and then we'll use all of the life coaching strategies and everything else to now design what's coming next. So it really is a 360 kind of program.
I love it. We're wrapping up here with Diana Perkovic. She's the founder of Good Girl Mafia. That's your website, right? Goodgirlmafia.com?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. All right, Diana, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us again. We'd love to have you back. We love your energy and your insight and all the work you're doing to help people live better.
Thank you, guys. I can't tell you how much I appreciate being back on, and I hope you're all doing well, and let's lift up together, shall we?
Sounds great.
All right.
Fantastic. Thanks, yes. Diana.
Yes, we appreciate you coming back, Diana. Thank you so much. You are listening to Happy Hour here on K104 with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci, and we will return with segment number 3, so hang in there. We'll be right back.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time here to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
Nicely done. Nicely done. Go ahead, Jonna.
I said boom shakalaka.
Oh, you nailed it.
Yeah, you
changed. Which, by the way, I'd like to congratulate you on our guest saying you nailed it.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm sorry. What was that again? What did our guest say? I couldn't hear. Bad connection. Could you repeat that, please?
I think if I recall, Diana said on one of your points that you nailed it. She recognized your brilliance, Jonna.
Yeah.
Fine. Right. And you're speaking to me,
yes.
Jonna.
Right.
Not to the other one who usually is all brilliant and stuff.
Stuff.
That annoying. Yeah. Well, you know, I try. I what can I say? Sometimes I try.
I know your humility is evident.
Wait, let me. I'm just coming down. I was floating above the ground. Now I'm sitting back down in my chair.
Okay. All right. That sounds good. But again, thanks very much to Diana Perkovic for joining us again here this morning.
She really is great. Her website, ladies who are listening, go to her website. It is really cool. She's got some really cool merch. In addition to being a really cool and brilliant woman, she's got just some great stuff. Goodgirlmafia.com.
Yeah, great branding. And she's just, she used to be on TV and as she was talking about, like, you think, oh, that's, and I know you're good at that, Jonna, and you love that. I think you love that aspect. But for her, it was like, hey, this is not all it's cracked up to be. And now she's really gotten to the root of what brings her joy and what her purpose in life. And she's killing it.
Yep. And you know why she's killing it? I think we would all kill it if we got ourselves to the place that brings us the most joy. I gotta believe that.
Yep.
So words to live by. And when we went a little bit long with Diana because and it felt like it was quick, but
I know.
I guess we'll wrap it up until next week, right, Frankenberry?
That sounds good to me. Yes, we did go a little bit long with Diana, but like you said, didn't notice because long minutes, worth as it. Long as they're good minutes.
Yep.
You know, you can't tell. So, but again, thank you, Diana Perkovic, for joining us, for Jonna Spilbore and Carol Pesci and myself.
Hang on, Frankenberry. Hang on before we go.
Hey, sure. I always say yes to the ladies' requests.
We forgot to mention it last week in advance, but last Wednesday, September 1st, was the 10th anniversary of us doing this show. 10 years. Really?
Holy cow.
10 years.
Talk about time flying when you're having fun.
Exactly. Exactly. It? And the worst part is that Jonna and Carol have not aged a day in those whole 10 years where I have.
Well, Jonna, maybe she's got the budget for it.
I pay good money not to age. So,
yeah. Yeah.
That is a good point.
Been quite a ride. Shout out to all our guests, our people who have been listening to us for those 10 years and new listeners been with us all along, and God, hundreds of people we've had on the show.
Hundreds.
Been a great 10 years.
Quite a number of different radio stations along the way.
And getting the band back together. I mean, you know, right? We were a team from the start and now we're a team again. And I have to say, you guys, you two are my longest relationship. And I'm happy about that. I'm very happy.
We are all friends with a Happy Hour benefit.
There you go. Oh, that's great. Good
Wouldn't
one.
Want it any other way. You guys are the best. Our listeners are the best. We've had a tremendous time. And, you know, hey, we got at least another 10 years in us.
There you go.
That's right. We do. when you'll surprisingly still only be 39 years old.
That's right.
All right, kids.
Okay. All right. Well, on the on that 10-year mark, congratulations to us, Jonna Spilborg, Carol Pesci, and me, Frankenberry Guy. We are going to wrap things up for this week, and we'll be back again next week. So make sure that you've got us tuned in, same time here, and make sure that you have a good and a safe week in between. Be good.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104Online.com.